chapter 4. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4 throughout this message here, just off and on. And also, I'm going to start out with some scriptures on the screen here in a moment as well. I'll read from Matthew and John before that. But if you find Ephesians 4, that'll be our main scriptures there. You can follow along on the screen in a moment for Matthew and for John as I go along. I'm on the last part of this series here that's called God's Best for Your Life. Talking this morning here about the next phase here is called Godly Relationships. I've talked here a whole lot in the past here about, first of all, our kids having God's best in our lives for our children from the time they're born, from the time that they're actually in their 30 or late 20s, almost 30 years of age. Then beyond that, we talked about the realm of finances, how God wants us to have order and God wants blessings on our finances there and see debt broken off our lives and see ourselves being blessed, being prosperous as God's desire is, not just in our soul, but also even in the realms of finances. In this realm here of relationships, I heard a story here this past week about a young couple that were actually honeymooning. They went to a hotel, and as they were driving up there, the woman was very, very modest. And she said to her husband, you know, these guys are going to know that we're newlyweds if we tell them that. How can we appear to not embarrass me, to be like we've been married now for several years? How can we do that? He goes, well, no problem. You carry the suitcases. That would work, amen? But it ought not be so, because God wants us to have godly relationships. As Cheryl was saying here, not just being flexible at the very, very beginning of our relationships, but also being flexible even 31 years of marriage down the road. So this morning is about not just for couples, but also it's for singles and all those who will be involved in relationship, because how many folks would agree we can all improve in the realm of relationships? I know I can do better. I know you can do better. I know we can do better, because God's always causing us to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, not just in the realm of faith, but also in love and also in relationships. So this morning, I'm going to say, how are we to love is a question. How are we actually to love? And using God's word for a template, God shows us very plainly how we are to love in this life. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 34 or 43 on the screen here, 43 and 44, Matthew 5. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and now pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now realize that Jesus Christ is saying here something beyond the law, because he knows he's about to die on the cross. He's going to rise again. He's going to release then the Holy Spirit to live in the earth and also in our lives. And God is saying that you cannot do this kind of a love in your might, your power, your strength. It is only going to be by the Spirit of God living in you that you actually can love those who persecute you, spitefully use you, do wrong against you. You cannot do that in your natural self. Amen. But you can do it, like Cheryl said also in the Word of God, all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Then it goes on in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And it says, a new commandment I give to you, beyond the Ten Commandments. He says that you now love one another as I have loved you, that you also would love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I'm sure that Jack Adams' class probably included that verse right there. When we know the word disciples of Jesus Christ is not by healings, not by miracles, not by all the gifts of the Spirit. It's by the fruit, by the love we have one for another. How many agree that the local church should be the place where folks can come into a place like this and actually see and sense, even feel God's love among God's people? That's not always the case in some even congregations, but I pray it will always be the case at Tree of Life Church. When people come in here, they're going to see us loving each other, hugging each other, saying good things to each other, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit toward one another. By this, all men out there will know we are His disciples if we have love one for another. And so for healthy relationships to happen, I've given you guys today five, again, Mike Hammond, take-home points to write some things down this morning here. I want to believe God today for divine impartation to us, that we can start seeing some things perhaps tweaked in our lives. May the Holy Spirit also focus on things in my life and your life as well that can be improved on in the realm of relationships. Now, these first two series here about your children and about your money were all very, very practical. This also is very, very practical about relationships becoming deepened, becoming more Christ-like, more godly. And so if you'll listen today, write some things down, do some research beyond this message, I believe God's going to take you to greater and newer levels and give His best for your life in the realm of relationships as only God can do. So number one here, first point is, there must be unity in love. There must be divine unity take place in love. How many here are actually glad that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are still getting along? Have you ever thought about that? You never hear about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit having arguments and fights and power struggles and competition. They've gone on through eons of time and never had one cross word between them. They love each other, they're in unity, they're in harmony, but they're the only creation of all humankind and angelic kind that can say that. From the very beginning of creation, the Bible says there was three archangels. There was Michael, there was Gabriel, there was Lucifer. Lucifer, the Bible says, got proud, got puffed up by his own beauty, his own wisdom, his own might, his own authority, and so forth. And he tells God to his face, I'm going to exalt myself now above your throne, above your kingdom. And by his own rebellious attitude and his own pride, the Bible says he was cast out of heaven, and one third of all the angels went right along with him. The first church split in the whole universe took place right there in heaven with Lucifer and his angels beneath him coming down upon the earth in rebellion. And then time goes by, and then God makes Adam and God makes Eve. Their firstborn sons, whose names were Cain and Abel, that first son named Cain there gives a wrong sacrifice to God, ends up getting jealous of his own brother, kills him, murders him. We find the first sons actually commit murder there and break down relationships somehow, some way in their lives. Then more time goes by, here comes Noah. Here comes Ham and Shem and Japheth and his wife. And the Bible says the world becomes so corrupt and so vile that God said, I'm going to take and destroy the entire world. And says, Noah, now build an ark to save you and to save your family. They build the ark. The floods come. All mankind is wiped out. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah and his wife come out of the ark there. And a few weeks or months goes by, and Noah gets drunk on wine for some reason somehow. And through that, the Bible says Ham exposes his own father's nakedness, and it says, and Noah sees that and says, you did not cover my sin, you did not cover my weakness here, so you shall be cursed now upon the earth. And also in that point there, relationship gets broken down one more time, and then more decades go by, more centuries go by. The Bible says in comes Abraham. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has a brother named Esau. They are split. They are divided. They are jealous of each other, striving, having broken down relationships take place in their lives. Then more centuries go by. Here comes a man named David, a man after God's own heart, the king of all of Israel. And the Bible says David had a son whose names were Solomon. Then he had Rehoboam and Jeroboam birthed through Solomon as his grandkids. And through Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the Bible says they began to split apart. They caused there to be a Judah and an Israel in a split, divided kingdom. And so all we see taking place in all Old Testament history is division, breakdown, relationships being cursed, things going backwards there as eons of time goes by. But then finally, Jesus Christ comes on the scene. About 2,000 years ago, the Bible says he has 12 disciples. Among those 12, one man's name was Judas Iscariot. That man's a thief. He's greedy. He's a robber. He takes from the money that's there. He betrays Jesus Christ. And through his betrayal, Christ is crucified on the cross. He ends up killing himself, hanging himself, broken down. Relationship takes place also in his life. Jesus Christ dies on the cross, rises again. He has 12 disciples. And those guys are changing, turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. One mighty man then begins to rise up named Paul the Apostle. Paul is a great friend whose name is Barnabas, his right-hand man, his close friend. But the Bible says John Mark is the disciple of Barnabas, and John Mark is immature, does some things that are kind of not full of integrity. Paul gets upset with him, and Paul tells Barnabas, we must let John Mark now go do his own thing. He's not qualified now for ministry any longer. The Bible says the dispute was so strong and so violent, Barnabas and Paul split company, went their own way from that day forward. Praise God, as time went by, they came back together again, but many years took place before that happened. We see throughout all of history, relationships being broken down by selfish motives, by sometimes greed, by pride, by jealousy, so forth and so on. And just last week in Old Town, Idaho, at the Eklund's Church, I talked to a man in his 60s at a Celebrate Recovery ministry on a Friday night. This man said, do you realize this church of Jeff and Robbie Eklund's is the only church in Old Town, Idaho to never have gone through a split? the only church among dozens in this area to have not gone through a church split. Those things, again, ought not to be so. I believe God wants the body of Christ to be united, to have unity, to love one another. And by this, may all men know we are His disciples in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm saying praise God for Cheryl and myself as well. We've never been in a church split yet in our entire life. May you guys not be part of that also anywhere, any place, and especially here in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to be healthy in God. So what are some of the ingredients for unity and longevity in relationships? We're going to turn now to Ephesians chapter 4 and stay there the rest of this whole message. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 gives some key ingredients about unity, about longevity in relationships in our lives. I've also found that Ephesians chapter 4 is a great chapter about relationships, about godly love, godly living in relational type realms. I'm going to spend, again, a lot of time in these verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says, with all lowliness, all gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with each other in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those are some great ingredients right there that God wants to put inside of our lives. So things like lowliness, things like gentleness, things like long suffering. These ingredients all bring forth unity, healthy relationships inside of our lives, our families, and our marriages as God desires for you. Amen. You know, there's a term right now that's been called for our new generation in America that's called flatliners. You ever heard that term called flatliners? Flatliners are folks in their teens and 20s right now in America that they've seen so many murders. They've seen so many rapes. They've heard of so much gang warfare on TV, media, movie screens, and so forth. They've been involved in so many or seen so many divorces take place among their own parents and step-parents and so forth. They now have lost all emotions and lost all feelings in their lives. They're no longer sensitive in the realm of the soul in their lives. They're now called flatliners upon the earth. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 talks about these people in the last days. Ephesians 4, 17 and verse 19 through 19 also, it says, this I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world or the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Notice this now. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and all greediness upon the face of the earth. You're going to find that those who get involved in being insensitive will turn towards lewdness and turn towards sensuality every single time. That's why we're seeing an explosion take place upon our own screens and upon our computers and upon our culture of pornography, lust, and vile things upon the earth. Because people are losing a sensitivity to their own soul, to God themselves. And those things, I believe, must be restored by the power of the Holy Spirit in these last days. If God would allow us to do those things and call upon His name, we're going to start seeing God, I believe, start softening the hearts, even of the church, more so in this hour, this season. I'm praying every day, Father God, soften my heart. Father God, soften their hearts. And Father God, also make them one as you are one in heaven. We want your love among us. Not to become insensitive, but become sensitive to things around us. Have a softened, meek, lowly, gentle, contrite heart that says, I want to sense what you're doing around me, Father God. I want to be able to weep with those who weep. I want to mourn with those who mourn. I want to laugh with those who laugh. I want to relate to folks around me. I cannot do that by my power, by my strength. It's going to take your Spirit, God, working in me to do that in all ways upon the earth. The second point today, number two, is there must be good boundaries for good relationships. There must be what's called good boundaries for good relationships. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, next of all. And it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, we looked at boundaries with our children, raising them. We saw and talked about boundaries in our finances, about how to spend money, how to save money, how to invest money, how to put up some budgets and boundaries in our finances. There must also be boundaries that are good boundaries in the realms of relationship, because your boundaries and relationships define who you are and how close people can also become to you in this life. You know, in this room today right now is James. James Christ is a good friend of ours, great praise and worship leader, amen. This guy, as we're knowing him more and more all the time, him and his wife Donnie, he's got tremendous kids as well. I love his children's personalities. I love their heart for God, their love for people. I love the family. It's a great people here. But James is not on the same level of relationship with me as my daughter Sarah is. Sarah's back here, right over here in this area. And I see her Sarah now. She's my daughter, our youngest child, youngest girl of two girls. But also even Sarah is not quite as close to me as my own wife, Cheryl, is. All three of these guys have different kind of boundaries in their lives concerning their walk with me. You know, James cannot come to my neighborhood and pull into my driveway, open the front door up, just walk in the living room, go to the kitchen, open the refrigerator up, grab some milk, grab some cookies, grab some steak, grab some food there and help himself, then go to our bedroom, pull out some of my jewelry or some of Cheryl's jewelry and start wearing that and so forth. He just cannot do that. Amen? I'm sorry, James. Now, why is that? That's because James has different kinds of boundaries in our relationship that he's got that should be there in a healthy type way. They're going to stop him from doing certain things. There's some things he can get by with, some things he can invade in my life, some things he can't invade in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at Sarah. Sarah also has got some boundaries in her life. We don't let Sarah rifle through our checkbook statements. We don't let Cheryl rifle through all of our drawers in our bedroom and our bathroom. We don't let Sarah wear all of her mother's jewelry, all of her mother's clothing, and use her mother's makeup all the time. Amen? Cut it out, Sarah. So I'm saying she's got boundaries. Now, Sarah can pull in the driveway. She can open the front door up without knocking first. She can raid the refrigerator and get our milk and meat like she does all the time anyway. I mean, she can do that. She's got those rights. She's got the boundaries of that able to be doing in her life, but she cannot do certain things also because she's only our daughter. She's not my wife. Now, Cheryl's got full access. Amen? Because there's intimacy there of a deeper level with her. There's good boundaries. Amen? So she can do all things. She can get in my closet. She can straighten my clothes out there. She cannot throw my shirts in the trash anymore in Jesus' name. She's getting tired of... There's some shirt she didn't like I wear. I thought, what is this thing missing here? She goes, I'm throwing some things in the trash. Or I'm going Goodwill. So that's off limits, okay? So I'm saying we've got very, very few things that are off limits as a couple in our household. Now what takes place sometimes is, though, when there's bad boundaries, when a husband says to a wife, my garage is off limits to you. You don't even step foot in that place. Don't even touch anything in that place there. And so those are what I call controlling type, manipulation type, anger, fearful boundaries may take place in a bad way. Some husbands tell their wives, don't go in my closet. Don't go onto my computer. Don't go into my office. Stay out of this place here. Wives do the same thing to husbands sometimes as well. This part of my life is none of your business. You have no place there whatsoever. I'm saying those bring forth unhealthy boundaries in marriages and relationships when those things are out of reach for folks around us. Amen? And so God says, define what are good boundaries, define what are bad boundaries, and try to resist the bad boundaries and try to embrace the good boundaries and celebrate what God does in our lives. I appreciate the video we saw this last Wednesday night with the pastor Kyle Eidelman there called A Fan, Be a Follower, Not a Fan of God. He spoke there about how some Christians have told God themselves also, I want to serve you, God. I want to love you, God. I want to go to heaven forever. But there are certain things that are off limits in my life in the realm of the Spirit. My workplace, my paycheck, my vocation, my education, where my kids go to school. Those things are all none of your business. What many folks are telling God that are believers. And God says, those are bad boundaries. I've come to bless your lives, what God says. I've come to give you life more abundantly. I've come to give you good things in life. Don't put a boundary or a wall around anything in your life. It's what God says to us, because I come to bless your life, not to curse your life at all. Amen? So sometimes we carry on this bad boundary thing from relationships in the natural realm to relationships in the spiritual type realm to our own detriment, our own harm, and our own demise. And I'm saying, may this be a day today. You start discerning some boundaries you put against God himself. Like Cheryl said this morning herself as well, nothing should be off limits to God. God should have full access to our future, to our present, to our children, to our finances, to our house, to our vocation, to a place we live in, the home we live in. Those things should all be open to God's discretion and say, Father God, there are no boundaries for you because I love you so much. I trust you, God, with all my heart. Amen. Let's look on now to verse 25, back at verse 25, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, therefore, put away lying. Now, what does lying have to do with boundaries? You're going to find the main way that people can break boundaries down that are good boundaries is by a lying tongue and a lying mouth. Because what happens is when your own children try to break boundaries with curfews being broken, with getting onto your computer, messing up your computer somehow, some way in your absence, by doing things and to steal things in the house, whatever else, they many times will lie to cover their tracks. Lying breaks down boundaries, breaks down covenants like nothing else can do. Amen? And so God says here, have a truthful mouth, have a truthful heart, speak the truth in love. Don't be lying to each other, because when folks find your lies out, it will break down the relationships every single time, make them less than what God wants them to be upon the earth. Okay? And so I want to say also here again, in this election year that's coming up here in November, you're going to find the number one way the candidates will cut each other down is try to catch each other in a lie. This guy said this, but this took place. This man's a liar. You can't trust him, because they know if they can cause the American folks to not trust the candidate, they will not vote for him. So lying is a big thing that breaks down boundaries, breaks down relationships, and says, I don't want this guy for my president, my governor, my senator, whatever else, because he is a liar and he cannot be trusted. Okay? Number three, third thing is about relationships, be healthy. There must be good character also in that relationship, good character. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 29 talks about this. It says here, be angry, and some folks said amen, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who steals no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he might have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. All of us in this room today, including myself, have got flaws in our lives. Amen? Some bigger than others. But those flaws in the realms of the character of our lives can sometimes be too big to actually even want to marry that person. And so we must take ourselves, when Sarah was going through a thing in the hospital about her own sickness and so forth, being treated there, almost every day they would say to her, what is your pain level today? They had a chart from 1 to 10 with a kind of a smiley face to a really bad-looking, yucky face for number 10. And they said, what's your pain level like today? Is it a 6, a 5, a 7, whatever else? We must ask ourselves also, the guy that I'm thinking about marrying, the gal I want to marry perhaps herself or date, what is their character pain level like in their lives? There's a whole lot of difference between a person who gets angry by getting cut off in traffic and they kind of slam their fist against their steering wheel and said, that jerk did that to me. That's kind of one level of anger there, I think, by getting cut off in traffic. Amen. Then someone that goes ahead and says, I'm going to now tailgate the guy, pull my gun out, point my gun at his face, and threaten that guy with his life. You better not do that again, buddy, or I'll blow your head off. That's a 10, amen? There's a 1 and there's a 10. If the anger level in your boyfriend, girlfriend, future business partner is going towards a 7s, 8s, 9s, and 10s, it might be time to reconsider that relationship until their heart would change, amen? Anger levels are one thing about character about right here. Also, it says here, don't steal. There's a big difference between taking and going to your wife's kitchen when she's not around. She's going to have a book club meeting that night. She makes a nice-looking chocolate cake with chocolate icing. And you get one little bitty square inch on the corner and just taste and eat that yourself. That's like a 0.1, okay? It's one little bitty square for yourself. Just kind of taste that and give your wife compliments about how good her cake really is. Amen? That's like a 0.1, 0.2 or something like that. And then going to Sam's Club and getting a 52-inch LED television and sealing that, that's a 9 or a 10. Amen? If your future boyfriend, future husband, wife, or co-workers are doing the sealing the plasma screens from Sam's Club, you might reconsider the relationship that you're getting involved with in their lives, because they're going off the chart in the realms of stealing. That includes not paying taxes. That includes robbing time from their employers. That includes all manner of stealing taking place in their lives as well. The third thing it says here, no corrupt words coming out of your mouths. There's a whole lot of difference between saying a few little slang things like golly gee or golly wow or gee whiz, whatever, things like that, to just turn the whole air full of cussing, swearing, and this blue language, and just saying foul things in anger and wrath, almost every other word coming out of your mouth being a corrupt word of some kind, something, amen? That shows the heart has got some real problems and real issues in that. We can't always be perfect in our communication with our mouth, but we shouldn't be finding ourselves turning the air blue with swearing every single day of our lives on an ongoing basis. Amen? So God is saying here, you can't overlook character because you're going to be living with that character perhaps the rest of your life. Relationships are not going to be healthy if there's wrong character in a person's life. That's your future wife, future husband, future business partner. Their character does make a difference. Amen? And I want to advise all you parents, all you grandparents, all you young folks that are single today as well. Ask yourself, would I still like this person just as a friend, not as a lover or romantically or in a sensual type way? Would I still spend time with them at Starbucks drinking coffee? Do I like them as a friend more so than a sensual romantic partner in my life? You know, with so many folks in marriage counseling, they love folks with all their heart, they think, because they like the way they look, they like personality there, they like what they're seeing with their own five senses, sensual things take place there. But do they like them as a friend? Because friendship is far more important than this sensual eros love. Amen? So I'm saying to you guys again, character does matter. Character will make or break relationships, and healthy ones must have good character in them as well. Number four, fourth thing is, there must be growth in both parties for all healthy relationships. There must be growth in both parties. We've all heard the term that opposites attract, amen? And that's pretty much true. I know that I'm sometimes strong in ways that Cheryl has been weak. She's strong in ways that I've been weak as well. But when we first met and began dating 32 years ago, we did not try to major on our weaknesses and our strengths and say, I'm going to marry that girl because she can do computer work real good. She's really, really good with gadgets and things and stuff like that and computers. I'm very, very weak at that. So I'm going to marry her for her giftings and talents and abilities. When we do that, we're going to find that as time goes by, they might become very, very weary of carrying us along like a mother or like a father and not like a husband or like a wife. And so God says we must grow together and become stronger and stronger together here. Yes, do use their weaknesses or their strengths for your own benefit and your own help, but as time goes by, don't rely upon them as your mother or as your father. See them as your spouse, your wife, and your husband for health relationships inside your lives on an ongoing basis. Amen? When you try to take and lean on somebody else for a long time, that weight will eventually begin to wear them out. And it brings forth anger, it brings forth frustration, and it brings forth even sometimes separation in that relationship. You need to learn to grow together, become strong in Jesus Christ, the spirit man first, the soulish man, the mind, will, and emotion second, and the body third of all. Amen? Last of all, number five today, fifth take-home point is, God must be first in our lives. God must be first in our lives. Hopefully, all of us today in this room are striving to display a thing called agape love. Amen? What's agape love? Read sometime 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. It says there, the very first verses there, though I have the tongues of men and angels, though I can fathom all mysteries, though I can move mountains with my faith, if I have not love, I am a clanging gong, I am a chiming type cymbal, I am of nothing upon the earth. That's what's basically said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says love gives forth all these agape things that brings forth to us growth and strength in all areas of our lives when that love is embraced and that love is followed. The question this morning is, what is sin? What is sin? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So sin is falling short of God's representation, God's nature, God's character, because God's glory is all those things. Amen? So sin's falling short of God's representation. The Bible also says to us, love covers a multitude of sins, of falling short. How many here in this room can say today, I have fallen short in some way in God? All of us that are honest can say that we've all fallen short in some way for God's representation, God's nature, God's character, God's glory. We've all done that. But the Bible says love covers multitudes of all kinds of falling short and sin in our lives. Praise God for that. What we're saying here again is, what is now the love that covers all these falling shorts in our lives? The answer is agape love. It's not storge love, not phileo love, not eros love. Those are brotherly loves. Those are erotic loves and so forth. It takes agape godly love to cover all these shortcomings in our lives. We don't find ourselves condemned by sin. We find ourselves getting more like Jesus Christ through our sins, calling upon His name when sin takes place and saying, Father God, I call upon Your name for kindness, mercy, and strength. Help me, O God, become more like You are every day in my life. What is agape love? The Bible says agape love is the love that seeks the other person's best, not your own first. It's a love also that never seeks for revenge. When bad things take place to you, you don't try to find ways to pay that person back. You seek for God's blessings on their lives. It takes God to do that. The Bible says also agape love is unconquerable. Unconquerable. Also, going back to our video on Wednesday night, I encourage you men to come back Wednesday and see that second part there of Being a Follower, Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. This man gave a very, very good point. He said that many people, when they get married, they say the vows are things like in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. He says sometimes sickness and health becomes leukemia or cancer. Sometimes for richer, for poorer becomes foreclosure on your house. Sometimes till death do us part becomes them committing suicide. Those things all take place in a real world, even to believers on the earth. Amen. And God says when you speak those words out, they're easy to say with our mouth in times of plenty, in times of youngness, in times of strength. But what when the real test takes place, then what is your mouth really going to say? But also I want to say to you today as well that if your love for God is conditional, Satan will meet that condition every single time. I'm going to say it again. If your love for God is conditional, Satan will meet that condition every single time. I will love God, but if my son dies, all bets are off. I will love God, but if I lose my job, forget you, God. You're not answering prayer anymore. If your love for God is conditional, Satan will meet that condition every single time. You must say it in your own heart, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death makes us come together stronger in Jesus' name. I will love you, Lord, my God. Amen. Your love will be tested, but you'll pass that test if God's first in your life. Amen. It's not emotional or emotions that's going to be the thing to take and deliberate us and give us a strong relationship there at all. It's going to take God's agape love flowing through us. Because agape love is about an act of your will, not an act of your emotions. You cannot have strong relationships by your emotions. It must take place by agape love and by your own will. Amen. You know, in about 1 month, I'm going to leave here for a place called Burma, Myanmar, Asia to do two back-to-back conferences for about 5 days. You might be asking me, are you very excited about going to Myanmar, to those people there? I would honestly say to you today, I'm not really excited about that because I'm thinking about long airplane trips. I think about lines, about travel, about jet lag, about time change, about bad food in rustic places. Those things don't excite me a whole lot. Amen? And even the folks of Myanmar, I don't even know those folks yet. I can't say I love those folks. I'm just going to give my life to those folks. They just really turned me on in some way. I'm saying to you guys right now, honestly, again, I'm going because God wants me to go. God gives me a grace to go. God says to go there. And so by God's obedience there, I go to a place like Myanmar, not by emotions, but by faith and by obedience in Jesus' name. When I get there, if God goes before me, the emotions will come automatically as I minister among the people, shake their hands, hug their necks, pray for them, talk to them. The emotions will come every time eventually. But I don't go to foreign lands by emotions. I go by faith and by agape love and by obedience to God's call and God's will upon my life. Amen. And the same thing's true of your walk with your wife and your husband and your sons and your daughters. You don't go by emotions. You go by agape love and say, I will stick with you through thick or thin till death do us part with God's help and God's grace. Now you beat me up, you shoot at me and try to stab me, I'm out the door real fast. Amen. But I'm saying other than that, I'm going to do my best with your best as well to make this thing work in Jesus' name. Agape love is unnatural. You cannot do agape love in your flesh and by your might and by your power. It takes the Spirit of God to bring forth to you agape love on a daily basis. As James comes back to the platform right now and helps me out, I want to say that as I was praying about this message on Friday, the Spirit of God said there's going to be some people in this service today that are going through a thing that he calls the spirit of Jonah towards Nineveh. The Bible says that Jonah did not like Ninevites. They were Gentiles. They were vile. They were doing things that were evil. They were against the Jews, against the Israelis. A lot of prejudice was there as well. Jonah said, I don't want to go and help those folks out. I want to see them die and go to hell. I don't like them. I want to see them die. So what does God do? God makes a great big fish to swallow Jonah and spit him out on dry land once he repents and gets his heart right with God and says, you don't go by your feelings, your emotions, your prejudices there. You go by faith and by agape love, says the Lord. And the Spirit of God said to me on Friday, that great big fish I made for Jonah had names on his forehead. Those names are resentments and jealousy and anger and prejudice and murder. A great big fish that was like Jonah's great big evil heart embraced him, swallowed him, engulfed him, but finally spit him out once he got delivered of his unforgiveness, prejudice, hatred towards the Ninevites that day. What God said to my heart on Friday was, some of you guys today yourselves have got a Nineveh that God wants to deal with in your life. It might be this coming Thanksgiving going to your in-law's house. That is your Nineveh. I don't want to go there. I want to make an excuse. I'm sick that day in advance. I got the flu already. I can feel it coming on right now. You don't want to eat with that brother-in-law, sister-in-law, that blowhard, that jealous person, that guy that did some things in the past who were very, very evil or wicked. It might be your own wife's pet cat. It might be your Nineveh. That thing gives me itch and sneeze. I don't want to pet that thing. I want him out of the house here. I'm going to put some glass in his food when he's not looking one day. That's pretty bad, amen? That's a character thing right there. That breaks down relationships, amen? I'm always picking on cats, aren't I? Well, it could be a dog, okay? It could be a pet armadillo. You don't like that thing. That's your Nineveh. Well, God is saying there, it's going to take agape love to love what your wife loves, to love what your husband loves, to love what your kids love, to love those things that they love so much themselves. It takes agape love sometimes because it's breaking down relationships otherwise. The third thing also could be today, could be a stepchild, could be a stepson, a stepdaughter that just rubbed you the wrong way every single day. They're rebellious, they're lippy, sick attitude. They want to get take, and no give at all. Takes agape love to see beyond their faults and see the need and say, they act rotten on the outside, but on the inside, I'm going to believe God to change your hearts, change your lives, and somehow, some way, I'm going to be like Pastor Henderson was to his own wife for 10 years. I'm going to try to love them unconditionally with God's grace and help in this house, in this life, in Jesus' name. When our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now for a moment, I want to ask this morning, would you be honest today and ask the Holy Spirit today, is there a Nineveh in my life? And God, is there a great big fish being formed to try and swallow me and take me to a place of obscurity and a place of brokenness and a place of repentance? Because I don't want to have hatred. I don't want to have arrogance. I don't want to have prejudice. I don't want to have these things of anger infiltrate my life and cause my life to be detoured any longer. I want, Father God, to have healthy relationships. Only birthed, oh God, by your Spirit. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning. I said today that healthy relationships include these five things: unity, good boundaries, good character, mutual growth, and putting God first in our lives. I believe that God today also is talking to folks whose hearts may not even be right with God this morning. Would you today be honest and say, Pastor Mike, I want to say that my life right now is kind of spiraling out of control. I'm not sure if I even died today and I see God face to face, he would say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys of God because you're my son, you're my daughter, and I know you. Are you following Jesus? Are you following God today? If you want to be prayed for this morning or have a prayer prayed for you today, we are.